From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 23rd day of December 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll check in with the folks at the Andersons to see what the cash grain situation has been doing as we move into the end of the calendar year. We'll take a look at how Todd Hubbs thinks the marketplace has been reacting, and we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast with Mark Russo at Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. By the way, I'll be taking some time off starting tomorrow through the second day of January. That's the Thursday after New Year's Day. I wish you and your family the best of holiday seasons.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Monday, let's take a look at what's been happening in Chicago and discuss that with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. You can find them at batescom.net online. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here for the last full trading day ahead of Christmas.
Yeah, well, happy holidays to you. Just as a reminder to our listeners, I'm going to take some time off. So the closing market report will be there each and every day from now until January the 1st. However, we won't have a brand new program until January the 2nd. I put programs together for you. Take some time off to spend with my family. I hope you get to do that as well. Kurt, why don't you tell me what's happened in Chicago? You and I are talking a little bit early because, well, you know, it's a slow trade day in Chicago on this last day before Christmas anyway, or Christmas Eve day. I see the beans were up 4 to 6 cents over the noon hour, at least.
Yeah, we're trying to hold some gains together here. Kind of a little concerned, maybe a little turnaround Tuesday, but overnight news is that import tariffs starting January 1st, China's going to be lowering or eliminating 850 key commodity tariffs, and so that's kind of a huge step towards this phase one and opening up our products a little bit more readily available to their country. Also, too, we did see a sale of 126,000 tons of beans going to China, so that was encouraging also. Then commodity funds were still short about a little under 100,000 contracts of corn, 81,000 contracts of beans, and short a little mill long bean oil. But as we wrap up the year and through here, thought we'd see just a little bit more short covering, so we'll monitor the volume and open interest as we head into next week. The overhead factor, though, that could keep a lid on prices is Argentina did see some good rains in some drier regions, so we'll continue to monitor that forecast as the calendar turns 2020 and we enter more of the prime time of their growing season, Todd.
I want to return to the Chinese thing for just a bit. I think pork was included in that. That could be good for both the livestock industry and for bean meal, even corn usage in the United States, I would think.
Yeah, if we can keep hog prices firm and keep our feed usage high, we just need to see the commitments get a little bit more aggressive here. We are seeing the WH company that was involved in the great pork robbery of 2013 move pork to China in general. Then, too, the feed usage in China is expected to also pick up from the standpoint they are importing a lot more breeding stock, and a lot of that's coming from the Danish in general. So we just need to see them become a little bit more aggressive. They will be at some point in time, but they're not going to chase the market higher over the near term. The real surprise, though, and it's probably a big demand, Todd, is 500,000 tons of chicken feet going to Asia.
Well, that's a large number. Not a lot of white or dark meat there, but chicken feet headed that way is still a big number. I suppose that means we'll have to have a place to get rid of some poultry. Though one way or the other, you have to have the the birds in order to provide any part of it. So that should be good news for the livestock industry as well. Speaking of which, the grain stocks numbers were gathered up on December the 1st. USDA will release those along, I think, is it January the 10th for the USDA Crop Production Report Day. They'll have the grain stocks numbers on that day as well. Do we expect any big moves in that number or for it to give us a real indication of anything in the first quarter of the year?
Well, that's a great question because it's going to be a tough one with a large part of the corn crop still out in the field, particularly in the Dakotas. Are they going to go with a continue with the trend line or their yield number they've had before, or are they going to fine tune that a little bit and account with a little bit of yield loss due to the crop standing out to the field? So I think trade will probably look at those numbers and trade them for 4 or 5 minutes, but I believe we need to probably move on into the March grain stocks report to give us a little bit better estimate. Visiting with a young lady from that area last Thursday evening kind of mentioned that the farmers out there will probably be on hold harvesting until as we get into late February or early March, and that'll give us an idea of what type of yields or winter loss we will see in that area.
We'll try to keep close track of what's happening there in North Dakota, and that should translate well, I suppose, into Wisconsin and Michigan as well as it relates to field losses, if any, or very much, and what the quality of that crop looks like. A number three yellow corn, I think, coming out of many of those fields, especially out west, that creates some issues for the marketplace. And I don't know which direction it means that corn has to move. Either good corn from here needs to move out there, or that corn would have to come here in order to kind of blend it away. What's your preference on that one, or does it matter very much?
Well, overall, the function of the market is probably going to move some corn from the west to the east when it's all said and done. As far as the lot of the crop in the west still out, we'll have to get a handle on whether that was really intended to be harvested or not. But yes, quality, not only in the western belt, but here in the eastern belt, already hearing stories of some bins not working out very well for some guys that kind of didn't keep an eye on it. So quality issues is going to be a concern. And for good quality corn, that could be a good premium if you're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, just as a reminder for those folks who do have to crawl inside those bins, whether the grain is in good or sore condition matters not. Be careful. Let somebody know you're going in, too, beforehand. Kind of give them a time frame so that at least they're thinking about, hey, I haven't heard from them. I maybe better go check on them. And it might be worthwhile to make sure you have, actually, it's always worthwhile to make sure you take some safety measures when you're inside those bins as well. So please do that. What else do we have to talk about in the last couple of minutes here?
Well, we're fitting the seasonal tendency. The Bears had Thanksgiving. Now the Bulls are going to have Christmas here, hopefully, barring no disaster between now and Wednesday here. But as we move into 2020, I think the focus is to make sure to get caught up on some sales. In order to go sharply higher from here, we're going to have to see some weather concerns develop in the southern hemisphere, port strike, dock strike, or something develop to give the trade a reason to move to a more of aggressive buying approach. So looking forward to 2020. 2019 was a remarkable year, a lot of moving parts. Visiting with producers, I believe a lot of the farmers are going to be moving very, very slow on January 1st because everybody wants to get over 2019, and I believe New Year's Eve is going to be a fairly large event this year, Todd.
It may very well. Hey, and one more thing, because we've mentioned 2020 a couple of times, and I'm looking at November beans in that 970 range and Dease corn at $4 on futures, that is. Any reason the producer should be considering forward sales there?
I think you got to kind of try to put together your numbers. I know this business is a consistently moving variable type of business, and I think you got to stay flexible in your marketing plan because there's a lot of unknowns. But I would look at maybe doing a straight hedge or a hedge to rye because the basis in our local area is still 50 under that new crop, and I hate to commit a whole lot of cash at that level. But look at a hedge to rye, and cover it with an option. So if something does blow up later on in the growing season, you can participate to the upside, but yet you've got a price floor intact.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Enjoyed it. Looking forward to talking to you in 2020.
Double down in 2020. Hey, thanks so much. We have been talking, of course, with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org, and you can find Kurt at BatesCom.net. Last week, I traveled with the agricultural economist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois on the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. Todd Hubbs was with us. He's the commodity marketing specialist, and I took some time to discuss the marketplace with him. We started with the Phase 1 trade deal.
It looks like there's a Phase 1 trade deal going into place, and we don't really have any specifics. I mean, what's floating out there is $40 billion basically, or $16 billion above the 2017 calendar year number. And if China does import that amount, that's very supportive across the whole ag space for commodity prices. Here in Illinois, that would be support for pork, beans, corn, and wheat, cattle, you name it, right? We think about, will that be the case? It seems hard at this point to wrap your mind around that kind of number. But I've been saying this as well, I would not want the administration to make perfect the enemy of the good. Even $8 billion more than 2017 would be do a lot for us in the price space and maybe provide some relief from some of these tight margins we've seen. But right now, we don't really know anything. And, early in January, it sounds like there may be a signing and a release of more details. And you will be hearing from me in January for sure about that deal if it comes to fruition. Yeah.
So where does that put us today, fundamentally? And we have, of course, to look forward to that January final crop production report. And you'll have to start thinking about what those numbers and what that and the stocks figures will look like when we get there.
Yeah, early January is going to be a big set of information for prices for all of 2020. Right now, the USDA's got corn yield at 167. I still think the production number's lower. We saw a lot of stuff this fall, particularly up in the Western Plains. And even here in the Eastern Corn Belt, there's still some corn out in the field if you drive around the state of Illinois even. So we don't know, and I don't know. My models say the yield's a little bit lower. Same for soybeans. I think it's about a bushel lower than current national projection. But those without the trade deal aren't going to really create the kind of price rallies we've seen recently. They would be helpful, but nothing like we've seen over since the announcement of the trade deal. So fundamentally, as we come into 2020, I think you're going to see corn demand pick up. We've already seen ethanol production come out of its doldrums. We saw in September and October. We're starting to see exports pick up a little bit because Brazil finally ran out of corn, and I think we got some cheap corn, or we had the cheapest corn in the world there for a while. And, I think we've used a good amount of corn in the feed ration in the first quarter. There's been a lot of cattle and hogs, poultry, gearing up for China export. So we'll see. As a reference to the corn stocks in December 1st, there's really a wide range that could possibly be in play because we don't know the final production number and we don't know feed use. So we could see a wide range of possibilities in that space. But both for corn and beans, I think my expectations lower production, just how much. Now, if that doesn't come to fruition, it may not be as big a blip as it would have been before, particularly if this trade deal goes into place.
What are the implications, do you think, of a billion bushels standing across the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan? Minnesota not so much, but the other three, even northern Illinois, just have an inordinate number of acres that have not been harvested yet that have to be dealt with at some point by USDA, maybe, but certainly have to be dealt with by the trade because it's not exactly in storage.
No, and it makes the December 1st corn stocks will always be in question after this report, regardless of what they are, because they have to estimate this as if it's in the bin. And I think a general expectation, I sort of share this to some extent, that we've seen some yield loss and quality loss out of a lot of that corn. You know, you may not be talking about good test weight number 2 corn out of a lot of that stuff. And, you know, feeders and other users, you know, we're talking some serious blending to get it up to spec. So there are big implications for that idea. And you know, if the corn stocks number's higher than maybe people expect, you know, the implication may be we may see a revision later in the year depending on what that corn ends up doing, because that's a lot of corn still out in the field. And it's tough to estimate. You got to admit that. So the implications are not just for the USDA reports, but, you know, the market moves on USDA reports, but for basis and what you're seeing around the country. Here in Illinois, we've seen basis tighten up considerably. Sales of corn and beans to processors are showing really strong basis right now, and I think that'll continue as we move into 2020.
Any thoughts on why the futures markets have not reacted along with the basis, or not nearly so much at least?
Well, I do have some thoughts, but I don't want to share them with everybody. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I've been saying this for a while, that I thought corn demand was on the up and that it wasn't out there, right? And we're seeing the basis tighten up, particularly in the Eastern Corn Belt. We had so much negative news for so long in the crop markets that it's really easy to keep the price. And, you know, there's this expectation, well, the crop's bigger than we thought it was going to be. Our demand's been weaker across a large space, particularly in corn. You've seen soybeans sort of rally. They started to rally in early December, even before this trade deal started coming along. We've had really strong crush in September, a little lower than we wanted, strong in October, and maybe a little bit lower than we want in November, but exports have been going strong as China's been buying. My personal feeling about it, Todd, is there's just so much uncertainty around this trade issue and uncertainty around the crop size. I think it's been hard to build a momentum in those markets, but I think that's probably changed.
So the trade just kept the money off of the table in your expectation then?
Yeah, I don't know what I can't say what the trade's doing. I follow the market closely, and it just felt like to me that the uncertainty, you know, we get a piece of bad news, it would run down pretty hard. Piece of good news, you know, and I think that's starting to change right now. The negativity was pretty high, I thought, coming into the harvest season.
Most producers will have made whatever decisions they need to make now for the end of the year. But once we get into the new year, what are the things that will be key for them to watch as it relates to both pricing corn and soybeans from 2019 and for new crop for 2020?
Well, we've been talking about those January reports. Those are going to be key. I think they're going to set the scene for prices for a good chunk of 2020. I'm excited about the trade deal. I'm also a little bit nervous about the trade deal. It doesn't feel as solid as I would want it to be. I've been telling folks out on the road here, you know, I think basis is going to get stronger. You might want to pay pretty close attention to your basis. We could be in a scenario where basis is getting stronger and futures are going up. That's usually a signal to sell cash, right? But the 2020 crop, I'd really think hard about putting a floor under it if we get a nice rally early in 2020. I know it's still early and you don't know what you're planting yet, but if you have an idea of what you're going to plant, or at least a minimum, it wouldn't hurt to put a floor under some of it as a hedge, because 2020 could be a heck of a year politically, and I think that's going to spill over into the markets.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's continue now our conversation about the grains. We'll do that on the cash side with Greg Johnson. He's from the Andersons. Hey, Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays. Great winter break for you. I hope you get some time off. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners as well. Yes, things will slow down here as we get into the holiday season, both from originations and logistics point of view, as well as I think the traders are probably all going to probably pack it in, and hopefully we have a few more details on the potential U.S.-China trade deal when we get back from the vacation.
Well, we'll find out once we get into January of 2020 about that, but you and I have been doing this for a few decades now. What generally happens over this period between Christmas and New Year's?
Well, the volume is probably the consistent thing. It really gets reduced. A lot of traders have made their money or lost enough money that they're going to just pack it in and start all over again first of the year. So we see lower volumes, trading volumes in the commodity pits. And sometimes, if there is some news that does occur over this next 10-day period, you can see the prices move a little bit more than what they would otherwise on some higher volume days. But short of that, what most people are expecting is corn to be up or down a penny or two every day, beans maybe 3 to 5 one way or the other, and then we'll probably come back January 2nd and then reevaluate and go from there.
Does the movement of cash grain across the country slow down during the period as well?
It does. It does. Usually the weather has a lot to do with it. The weather being warmer now, it's kind of mushy out there. I think that's going to slow down movement in our area. Some areas are still snow on the ground and not ideal weather to haul grain. So typically this isn't a real active time frame to move grain. And I would think that's going to be the case once again this year.
You know, I was out last week with the ag economists, including Todd Hubbs, who we just heard talk on the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. I think each day of the summits we were asked the same question. Why are cash prices so strong and futures not reflecting that? Do you have a good answer?
Well, the answer that I've been using for the past several months, and the one I think is correct, is the futures market reflects the overall volume of grain. The basis reflects localized volumes of grain, and I just don't think there's as much grain in the eastern Corn Belt as there is in the western Corn Belt. Overall, there may be enough corn and soybeans, but we planted a lot less acres in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, and Michigan, the eastern Corn Belt, and then we went from too wet to too dry. More so in those states as well. So the yields were down. So you had less acres and less yield in the eastern Corn Belt. And as a result, there's just not as much grain available. And so basis levels are much stronger. Now, maybe the grain is in the west. Overall, maybe we do have enough grain. And that's why the futures market hasn't really responded as much. But we're pretty confident that the corn and the beans are not as plentiful as they have been in the past. And that's why we're seeing basis levels as strong as they are here in the east.
Basis is the classic way to move grain from one place to another.
Basis, the whole purpose of basis is to move it from where it is to where it ain't.
Any final thing before I let you go for the day?
We've still got 4 or 5 trading days left, and then we get back in the first of the year, January 10th, the USDA crop report. So the two things that traders probably would focus on to get a move would be either more details out of this U.S.-China trade deal or the January 10th USDA supply and demand report. Other than that, it looks like it might be kind of a quiet holiday trading session.
Well, we'll be quiet with us. Thanks so much. And we won't talk with you again until the new year. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks. It's good. It's good talking to you. Merry Christmas and have a happy new year, too.
You too. Greg Johnson is from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. I'm Todd Gleason.